Struggling to find your financial rhythm? Make that move to Fidelity and let us help you orchestrate your financial goals into perfect harmony with free financial coaching sessions. Make that move today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
This morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all a day. It is Wednesday, the 7th of December, January 2026, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. Don't blame me, blame the producer for taking me back in time. That sweet old rake and scrape music, that's a genre rake and scrape. We all love, right? That's where Julian Believe, Shine, and Johnny Cake, that's where they went into to get that sound for Whip Wop, right? That's where Vocab went to get the sound for One Gal on the Red Shirt Rhythm by DJ Overdose, right? That guttural rake and scrape sound. Oh, it's good to be home. You're on the clock with Erin H.H.T. Green. I mean, that's all of me. Plus also Mitchell, Boyd Gay, that's also all of me. But for my Hannah Hasty Times family, another reminder, we are resuming our regular monthly meetings. Get prepared. We're having a meeting at the end of this month. The last Thursday of the month is the regular meeting time. The meeting place will be announced shortly. So spread the news, HHT people. Reach out to your family. Let them know we're getting ready to meet. We're getting ready to discuss the details we have so far for the 2026 Hannah Hasty Times family reunion. It is going to be a good time. So a little housekeeping. Good morning, Crystal.
Good morning, Erin.
How you doing?
I'm good.
Listen, I got to say thank you to a listener that heard me singing my sad song yesterday about the 12 days of Christmas.
Yes.
And they brought me a jar. Say, on the first day of Christmas, my favorite listener gave to me a jar of drinking chocolate from a Trinidadian chocolate tree. And I want to say to that listener,
that's loaded.
Thank you so very much for that gift. I'm going to make something, not just hot cocoa for these cold, crispy Bahama nights, right? Because I'm sure another cold front coming up soon.
Oh, of course.
But I'm thinking of making a chocolate tamarind glaze, like a syrup for a cheesecake.
Chocolate tamarind.
Yeah.
That's I've never heard of that.
That's okay.
Okay. That's no, okay. Is that something like that? That's your thing, or is that something?
Well, I want to say it's my thing, but it can't be my thing. You know what I'm saying?
No, I mean, like, is it something that you that people typically do that I just have not heard of?
I think I've seen it before, okay. But I want to try it. See,
the colors go together, you know.
When I was sitting,
tamarind, but then the thought of it is just like, would that be overly sweet?
Have you ever thought about tamarind and steak? Do you know A1 sauce and Worcestershire sauce have tamarind in it?
Because, you know, you could put like on meats, you can put like mango chutney, like the sauces and stuff they have on those. I think it's mango.
See, when I made, when my little company.
And then pepper jelly on steak and lamb and
It
makes sense. Tamarind jelly on steak and lamb might be nice.
Absolutely. In fact, we made juju sauce for roast pork, right, with BANROB, the Bahamas Network of Rural Women Producers. When they had their installation, and the ceremony was a government house, the members of the organization provided lots of the food. Some of the chefs cooked, but we provided the food sources for our meal. And so someone did pork, and we made a juju sauce, because, you know, people eat pork and applesauce. We made a juju sauce to go with the pork. There's all kinds of fabulous things you could be doing in this.
I love the use of the local fruits and flavors, because it's something that you usually can't purchase from a store. Mm-hmm. There's something very special about that. I made a mango sauce for lamb chops a couple of years ago when we had like so many mangoes. Not last year, but it was another year.
Yeah.
We had so many mangoes. It was during the pandemic, and I was like, what to do with all these mangoes? And I made a sauce out of it. I put them in smoothies. They taste so good. It is so good.
So let me tell you what the secret is.
What's the secret?
Limestone.
The same thing that a lot of people say is the reason why we can't grow anything.
That is
interesting.
Some people like to confuse the enemy. Limestone is the reason that Bahamian mangoes have a distinct flavor from other mangoes in the region, like Jamaican mangoes. Jamaica is the land of mangoes, a plethora of mangoes all year round. But there's something that the limestone environment adds to our mangoes that accentuates the tang, right? Which then pushes the sweet of the mango forward. It's just a beautiful thing. Okay, so let's get into the headlines. Well, let's get into the housekeeping and then into the headlines. Remember, we're still running the Loyalist Charles Farquharson Will Competition, open to junior and high school students throughout the archipelago. To win the prize, two pieces of information: the government recording record of Loyalist Charles Farquharson's will, and the recorded date. The recorded date of Loyalist Charles Farquharson's death. Four districts can enter: New Providence, Grand Bahama, San Salvador, and the rest of the family islands. Call the show. Let us know you want to play the game. We're going to give you to the producer, and you can give the producer the information. All right. I said HHT January General Meeting is coming up. We're still running our T-shirt and magazine recycling drive. I'd like to say thank you to all of the individuals who have already participated. And to my massive T-shirt donor, your bags are ready. Let's arrange. I will have them in the car or at the Guardian for you tomorrow. Now, to our daily dose of positive. I found this really cool story. Collections, outplanting, and volunteers. Waterkeepers Bahamas reports record-breaking year in yesterday's Our News broadcast. Waterkeepers Bahamas says 2025 was a record-breaking year for conservation and restoration efforts. Waterkeepers Bahamas continues its mission to protect and restore the country's water resources, recording significant achievements in 2025. Special Projects Coordinator Javan Hunt says restoration efforts that began in 2022 at Dover Sound, a mangrove habitat on the island's northern coast, are now showing visible success. Hunt says the area, once severely degraded, is recovering as mangroves return and ecosystems begin to stabilize. The organization also exceeded its volunteer engagement in mangrove replanting goals despite widespread destruction across Grand Bahama and Abaco following recent storms. Hunt explains that the group's mangrove nursery played a key role in meeting those targets, providing a sustainable source for restoration. He says watching once barren land transform into thriving mangrove ecosystems has been deeply rewarding, noting the role these habitats play in protecting coastlines from future disasters.
That is significant. I'm so happy. But, you know, ever since the pandemic, Hurricane Dorian, all of that, after everything, all of that madness cleared up, water keepers, for sure, they have been, and they've not been quiet about it. They've, like, pressed gas on outplanting. They've involved students. They've involved partners, community, everything. Even trying to get in touch with them, sometimes they dedicated it was a regular thing almost every week, if not every week.
Yeah.
They were planting. And the good thing for the mangroves is that they grow pretty fast, especially the red mangrove that they were mostly planting. They grow pretty fast, and they are so important, especially for when there are other storms that come to break that wave energy. And
absolutely,
that's really important. We know how storm surge is so dangerous.
Right. And mangroves become fisheries for our most treasured fish.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
oh,
you're like that mutton snapper. You're like that great snapper.
Birds, fish, everything.
Yeah,
the
don't eat the birds.
Some comes back.
Don't.
Don't eat them.
Don't
please
eat them.
Don't.
No matter how much they pesterize you. Okay, so a little extra in our Daily Dose of Positive segment. On this day in history, on this day, January 7th, 1959, American gangster Maya Lansky flees Cuba for the Bahamas due to the Cuban Revolution and rise of Fidel Castro. Also on January 7th, 1959, U.S. recognizes Fidel Castro's Cuban government. I was saying something about the calendar. There's something about the calendar. Some people know I'm talking to them, some people don't. Okay, also on this day in history, January 7th, 2018, snow falls in the Sahara Desert with 15 inches reported in Ain Sefra, northwestern Algeria. Right? Now, that's northern Africa still, right? January 7th, 2018, same day, same year, Sydney, Australia has its hottest day for 80 years as Penrith reaches 47.3 degrees Celsius. Wow. So, but on the same day, in northern Algeria, in northwestern Algeria, northern Africa, snow fell, and in one area, 15 inches of snow was recorded. Mm-hmm. And on that same day in Australia, they had the hottest day in 80 years. It's interesting news, eh?
Yeah.
I think it signals pole switching. I don't know. They say these are interesting times to be alive. And so we're going to transition to a story. We got lots to talk about this morning. The headlines, again, are full. I prepared stories. Retired teachers re-engaged to address shortages, along with Cabinet-approved rehiring over 40 retired nurses. Two stories I saw yesterday, which I thought were relevant given the last 2 days of headlines in the Tribune, right? In the Tribune, is this, let me read from this one, Cabinet-approved rehiring over 40 retired nurses. The Davis Cabinet recently approved the rehiring of 40 retired nurses who have expressed an interest in returning to the public healthcare system, according to Minister Darvill, responsible for health. The move comes as the government seeks to address a staff shortage. However, Managing Director of the PHA Public Hospitals Authority, Dr. Aubinette Roll, explained there is a process that must take place before the retired nurses are back on the job.
That's pretty sad.
See,
honestly,
we all know that we've reached crisis levels.
Yeah, to bring back the retired nurses.
And it's important to understand that the patients experience the crisis, the nurses living through the crisis, right? This crisis impacts everybody in the system. Is this a sufficient effort? And this article was only 4 lines long. I was looking through The Guardian this morning, and I'm not sure I saw a follow-up yet. But we shall continue discussing. So I thought those were interesting stories. Again, retired teachers re-engaged to address shortages. Our news, January 6th, and Cabinet approved rehiring over 40 retired nurses. Nassau Guardian.
So teachers and nurses.
Yeah, the basic. Then we're going to talk boundaries. Report from yesterday's paper, Boundaries Commission expected to propose splitting two constituencies, Tribune. Boundaries report to be tabled tomorrow, Guardian. Right Sign says voter registration changes risk election confusion, Tribune. And then I have an article from earlier this last year, PM Bahamas should make voter registration mandatory. Today's paper, top of the Guardian, Boundaries report expected today. So there's lots to delve in about that. But before we get there, let's start here, Crystal. Today's Tribune, partially blind dad killed on crossing. Let me tell you why this is poignant to me, not just because I am obviously a safe roads, better driving advocate, but because yesterday I decided to travel north to head east and ran into the most amazing traffic. Of course, it was the first proper boat day of the year, mailboat day. Mm-hmm. So cars were lined up trying to get to Port of Ski because people have been waiting now for almost 2 weeks for another boat. I cut off to Dowswell Street. I don't know why. I cut off to Dowswell Street. But I can tell you why I cut off. Because typically on a boat day, right, when you're approaching the Port of Ski access, technically, when you pass Sydney Poitier Bridge, the new bridge, you've got two lanes, right? The lane on the left will eventually split into two. It will widen so that cars who are going to Port of Ski have an access lane. So at one point, you have three lanes, right?
Yeah.
What typically happens on a boat day, though, is that that right lane that should be clear for cars continuing east, right? Because they're not going to the boat. That lane is typically blocked up by cars trying to force their way into the left lane for Port of Ski access, right? So when I was making my way through town yesterday, cut off onto Dowswell Street, I called 919 to ask them to send officers to the Sydney Poitier Bridge. Why? A large truck had decided that, I'm not sure if they came from the Dowswell side or if they came from Church Street. But they decided that they were going to cut straight across to that left lane, despite the fact that there was bumper-to-bumper traffic. So no cars were able to proceed for a significant amount of time until that vehicle was able to clear the road. When that vehicle cleared the road, we realized we still weren't moving. Why? Because taxis who had attempted to duck the traffic on Bay Street were turning from Dowswell Street left across two lanes of traffic to go onto the bridge. But they couldn't do that. So they still had the Dowswell Street lane and the right lane blocked until traffic cleared sufficiently for them to make it onto the bridge. So once I was able to pass that point, like for some reason it cleared and then everybody kept that right lane open, right? When I passed that point, I saw that there was an officer at the Port of Ski access. I want to add this to my daily dose of positive. Okay. There was an officer at the Port of Ski access. No, I am pleased. Listen, I'm happy. This is my daily.
I thought you meant the traffic thing because I was like, what you just described, that should never happen.
Right. There's an officer at the Port of Ski access. Let me tell you what that did, what their presence did. Their presence prevented people or deterred people from using the one-way road that leads to Bay Street, right opposite the access to Port of Ski, it stopped them from using it to enter Port of Ski. See, because it's one way heading south.
Yes.
That road does not allow you to come onto Bay Street. Mm-hmm. But typically on a boat day, cars will force their way through the one way in the wrong direction and block all of the lanes of traffic trying to get to Port of Ski.
Yeah.
See, the mere presence of the officer at the entrance to Port of Ski was a deterrent for other vehicles coming through to break in the law, right? When I pulled over, I had on my turn signal. That's what you're supposed to do. The officer looked at me and let me know clearly, ma'am, you can't cut this line of traffic. I said, sir, I'm not here to cut it. I'm here to ask you to send officers down to the bridge also. He said, ma'am, we were just down there.
They needed to go back.
Here's the thing. Yeah. Police presence in and of itself is a deterrent to bad behavior on the road. At least it used to be. It appears as if yesterday it was. It's appearing more often, though, that it's not. Far too often, I see people breaking the law in front of the police and the police doing nothing about it. Right? I want to say it was East Hill Street. Prolific. People parking illegally, double parking. So you park in the parking zone. Mm-hmm. They go out of the parking zone and block Parliament Street, block the view from Parliament Street. So the cars coming from Parliament Street have to poke their way out into my lane to see if they could go.
Yeah.
Which then renders people to just not stop at the stop sign at all. Right? Then there are the people who disregard the disabled parking spots on East Hill Street and allow their customers and clients to park there with impunity. Sometimes you all allow the people who service your building to park on the ramp that allows access for motorized wheelchairs to the sidewalk. Also access for humans, right? It's just a quagmire right next to Government House. Also, the light at Market and Shirley Street has been down for almost a week now. Surely, the light immediately next to Central Bank and Government House requires attention. Hey, people, get the light fixed. Don't worry about the tourists who just muddle their way through the road. Don't look at traffic lights. So it wouldn't matter. They don't look at traffic lights anyway. But don't worry about the tourists that are always in that area and the risk to their lives crossing pedestrian crossings with no traffic signals. Don't worry about them. Don't worry about them. But let's worry about this. Oh, wait, just a couple of more. I want to say to the taxi driver that almost hit my car coming out of Calendars & Co., the fact that you look at me and smile and said, but I love you, baby. I mean, it lightened my heart just a little bit. That's what I told them to do, Crystal. I told them if you're on the road carrying on like a maniac, at least interact with the people pleasantly.
We spoke about the taxi drivers before. Remember what I told you?
Yes.
Okay.
Hold on, that's the first taxi driver.
Now you see it.
There was another taxi driver that cut me off, but he was not as nice. So I said to that first taxi driver, boy, I wanted to cuss you. But then you did smile and you did say, Miss, I love you. And I could not find it in my heart to be that angry. And I was upset, but I couldn't be that angry.
Stop giving them tips. Anymore. They were wrong.
Listen, of course they were wrong. And they would have been right outside Central. We would have had a good time. To the money truck. To the truck that picks up people's money and takes it to the bank. What are you doing stopping in the middle of Dowswell Street letting seven cars run the stop sign in front of you? Right. Aren't you a security truck? Don't you have security protocols? I tell you what you aren't. You're not a police officer, so why are you directing traffic? And do your bosses know what y'all be doing? Wait, that's a whole different conversation. Your bosses know what you be doing in the vehicles. They don't, because y'all be on the road doing a bunch of foolishness in money trucks, acting as if you've been authorized to break the law. You're not keepers of the law. If you're not turning, why are you stopping at the intersection? See, I wanted to have this conversation today because since we were talking about emergency vehicles, a number of people I've interacted with are really of the belief that somehow the prison busman is carrying prisoners is just an ordinary vehicle just like their own. And I realize something is terribly wrong here. So we're going to get into this story. Partially blind dad killed on crossing. Before we get there, good morning, Carlo.
Good morning, Erin. How you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How you do?
Happy New Year to all of us. Erin knows something I can say for the day. When I get on the topic, I'll be on the 10, 15, 20 years. I asked my good friend, Lenny Tonham, even the Bahamas, I was paying you without one speech.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be getting paid. See, nothing is going to happen in this country until 85% or 90% of those who get it already. They're stuck in their old ways. They don't want to.
Mm-hmm.
I got to train and grunt to train. They can't buy land and island up in the property city born.
Mm-hmm.
When Papa repealed the landhold in that back in the day, I know I did it. Because our foreigners, they have to be in the center bank so So when we have, when we have money to pay off our debt, am I right or wrong?
Mm-hmm.
And the people that came and had to pay with American money. Well, my boy, Mr. Christie, didn't appeal it. Talking minister didn't appeal it. And now Brace didn't appeal it. And I asked all of them to appeal the land owner. I saw Papa. Sorry, he came up with that.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's human. See, don't want the children don't go to school there. I went to them. They go to private school. Let me go to school and I guess everybody sending the kids. Yeah. Not me going to no point, you know. If the politicians had the Senate children, the Don David, the government in the school, I wouldn't believe it. I think they had bad teachers to me. Because back in the day, you had some English teachers, some South Africans, et cetera. Some people from Jamaica teaching us good educated people. But the system, nothing's working in this country. You know, the bus system is horrible. And I realize somebody, some people quit jobs. It's true. You see, and like somebody say, I got it now. Funerals, some weddings, lease some motorcycles. Escort these people through. And you there right there when I see in the city every day. But I would say that all the MC can't drive. Sometimes I'd be by Marshall Street and those guys who put them 18 minutes to a small corner, man. I just deploy them. Oh, Lord. They can handle it.
Mm-hmm.
Can't stop the community. Can. But I mean, I don't know the wrong with our politicians, but I can ask all of them. You know, I speak them all.
Mm-hmm.
What lies you have come to tell us at the end of this time? Of Freedom of Information Act. Local government island, a new property, la, la, la,
way, way, way. Mm-hmm. Listen, let me give you an example of one of the problems. They are politicians, but it's obviously a part of the problem. I can give you this example right now. Thank you very much for calling.
All right.
And making those sound points. It says, Aaron, I would like to declare this day National No Tailgating Day. Bang. They say, a taxi driver tailgated me from Harbor Bay Shopping Center to Shirley Street. Listen to this. And yes, I indeed went 5 miles per hour as we both moved slowly through Shirley Street for about 10 minutes. See, that driver there, take their driver's license from them and throw it away. They're telling you that I made the decision to ignore all the rules of the road. I made the decision that I was going to continue obstructing traffic, right? On a two-lane road, in an instance where obviously the taxi could not use the other lane to overtake them, right? They said, and yes, I indeed went 5 miles per hour as we both moved slowly through Shirley Street for about 10 minutes. Please remind drivers that it is a crime to follow closely behind others. Text, it's a crime for you to have a driver's license, right? It's a crime for you to get in your car and say, I am going to break the rules of the road because it's my car and I could do what I want. You don't own the road. It's a public road, and the license is a privilege that you have a right to enjoy if you meet the criteria. Let's go to this story. Partially blind dad killed on crossing. A 64-year-old partially blind man became the country's first traffic fatality of the year after he was reportedly struck while using a pedestrian crossing on Bahama Games Boulevard, with his family calling for answers and justice. Vincent Hepburn, a father of five, was reportedly on his way to his Yellow Elder Gardens home, just a few houses from the thoroughfare, when he was fatally injured on Saturday afternoon. He died in hospital hours later. His daughter, Bianca Hepburn, said the family believes their father was killed due to negligent driving. She said that although he was partially blind in his left eye, he regularly used a pedestrian crossing and was familiar with the area, having lived there his entire life. Quote, he was coming home. He was coming across the road. And according to the people, they said he got hit by a car coming across the road, she told the Tribune. A bag of groceries was reportedly found near the scene. We're going to read this, people. So when you're in your car with your cell phone in your hand, on your phone call, yesterday in my own community, I almost got taken out by a vehicle. There's a deep curve, right? Mm-hmm. And the curve is the main way. And then there's a road that shoots off. I was coming around the curve. I saw the boat coming in the opposite direction on the curve. So I slowed down because I know that visibility is reduced for the other driver when large vehicles are on that curve. Thank God I slowed down because a driver who was deep in his cell phone just ran straight into the offshoot across the path of my car. He did not even look up until I blew my horn and he was already past me. He was so deep in his phone.
I think what a lot with all of these stories have in common is a lack of consideration for other people on the, and it may seem like something that's very trivial, like it's not that important, but it is. You have to think about other people. You're not the only one on the road. You're not the only one with somewhere to go. And there are pedestrians too. There are other people using the road. There are emergency vehicles.
Listen, the people can tell you. The people can tell you.
And somebody died.
The people can tell you. I get in my car and tell myself there are no other cars on the road. I drive with people who say things like that. The family believes he was on his way home to cook, something they said he loved to do. Police did not report the incident in their daily crime reports. You'll notice I paused talking about the dysfunction that is the Royal Bahamas Police Force website. When contacted by the Tribune Press liaison officer, Sharia King said she would look into the matter. Police later issued a statement following the Tribune's inquiries, confirming a collision involving Hepburn and a black Nissan Juke. Officers said they found Hepburn lying on the ground with visible injuries, while the Nissan Juke was parked on the eastern side of the street with damage to its front end. Thankfully, they didn't run from the scene. We say, thank God for that. Yeah. The family said they were troubled by the lack of police reporting. Quote, that's how a lot of people find out about their loved ones, too, if you ain't immediate, close quotes, Ms. Hepburn said. Quote, or even someone who probably saw could say, oh, well, let me come forward and say something because I didn't know the person died. I saw it happen. So that had me distraught to know it wasn't reported. I want y'all to understand that that right there is equally as troubling as the driving culture in the country. You see what the family member said? If you had made an announcement, maybe, and I'm paraphrasing, maybe someone who had witnessed the accident may come forward and say, now that I know the person has died, I understand that my information is extremely important. Hepburn's daughters learned of the accident through their 88-year-old grandmother, who called them frantically after hearing the news. Ms. Hepburn said she and her sisters immediately went to the hospital, where they learned their father had lost a significant amount of blood. They were later allowed to see him. Quote, everybody was talking to him and letting everyone know, all of us here, right here with you, and to stay strong, Ms. Hepburn said. Hours later, hospital staff delivered the devastating news, marking the first time the close-knit family had experienced such a tragedy so close to home. Quote, it's hard because I keep thinking about him, trying to sleep, close quotes. The grieving daughter said, quote, it's just hard because you can't focus and then you have your own life you have to focus on because all of us have kids, close quotes. She said the loss was especially shocking because they had spoken just hours before the incident about her collecting a gift for her son for participating in Junkanoo. A few days earlier, they had attended church together and spent Christmas together as a family. Ms. Hepburn described her father as their world, saying he was proud of his daughters and always protective of them. Quote, he always told us we are family. We are our own friends. We have enough sisters as friends, and he always stood by his word and said, whatever we need, he got us, close quotes. She said she will always cherish the time they spent together on Father's Day and during the holidays. She added that cooking was their love language, and she would write messages like, made with love, on the food she gave him. Quote, I saw he still had the cover on his bed, so I just carried that home to keep, close quotes, Ms. Hepburn said. This is in today's...
That is extremely tragic.
Tribune. It is extremely tragic.
Just, I hope that everyone listening to this story today, you know, it's another, you know, you need a refresher every once in a while to remind you why you need to be vigilant on the road, why you need to be careful as a driver. You know, because you don't know. And sometimes people make, I'm not saying this happened, but sometimes people make the assumption that, oh, they see me, I can just keep driving. Whether it's another car, a person, someone on a bike, they, oh, I could just keep going. No, you have to
adhere to the right of way.
Especially if there's a crosswalk and street signs that are being used.
Yep. Come on. In fact, listen, the people, you know what we know the typical crosswalk symbol. It's the black and white stripes. We call it the zebra, right? But there's another pedestrian crossing, type of crossing, at the traffic light. If you notice when you pull up, let's say, Village Road, Wolf Road, Bernard Road, Soldier Road, intersection, right? We're on the Wolf Road side, and we're facing Bernard Road. We're at the intersection. Well, you notice there are these silver plates, these metal plates in the ground in a line. There are two lines of them, right? And they border a strip. It's about six gray plates and then a gap and then six gray plates. That's a pedestrian crossing. That is designated for pedestrians to cross the road at the appropriate time. The cars are all in it. In fact, that thick line immediately before those gray plates, that's where you're supposed to stop your car. And any car that is that's over that line at a red light, that's $250 in fine. That's $250. And if your car is in the yellow box, it's now an imaginary box because they never repainted it, even though...
But
anyway.
The yellow boxes are so far up. There is no way... You could
really
be on that yellow box.
Really?
Like, they are all over.
I got a text here that says, why don't you be a road traffic police? First of all, I don't know what this tone
is. Aaron, that's the need to volunteer.
Is that the tone? The last time I volunteered, the police them cut their eye at me so hard on Montague Dock because they came to recover the body of a fisherman, right?
Oh.
Who had passed away in transitioning back to land. Mm-hmm. They just threw their cars anywhere. It was a big fish day. And so, you know what I did? Because I needed to make my way out, my own vehicle had to get out, I directed traffic. And we created a smooth path in and out of the dock. Why? Because the traffic was back up for a mile and a half. Mm. Because of the situation that was created, how the police throw the cars anywhere and everywhere. Mm-hmm. Bang. I would be a road traffic police. They don't want me to be a road traffic police. They don't want to be road traffic police. I don't think y'all understand what's happening. They don't want to be road traffic police. They're not doing the job. And day after day, new traffic officers in their shorts and their bicycle, they posted up all over New Providence doing what? The Ministry of Energy and Transport's business. That's what they're doing. They're looking for your inspection. They're looking for your license, your inspection, and your insurance. That's Ministry of Transport's business. That's not the Royal Bahamas Police Force business. Red lights, stop signs, cell phones in hands, parking on sidewalks, ignoring pedestrian crossings. These are the things. Overtaking without using your turn signal. Exiting or entering an intersection without using your turn signal. These are the things they're supposed to be focused on. We're going to a break. When we get back from the break, we're going to get into the text and some more headlines. We'll be right back.
Step inside the John Baptiste Jazz Club at Bahamar, where the rhythm of the islands of the Bahamas meets the soul of New Orleans. Every night, the lights dim, the music swells, and the air fills with that unmistakable energy. The kind that makes you close your eyes and just feel. Savor signature cocktails, curated small plates, and live performances from world-class musicians, all in an intimate, artfully designed space where every seat has a story. Whether it's a romantic night out or a spontaneous evening with friends, this is where you want to be. The John Baptiste Jazz Club, only at Bahamar. Reserve your table now at bahamar.com/jazzclub or through the Bahamar app, because every evening plays its own tune.
Planning for retirement can be overwhelming, but with CFAL, it doesn't have to be. We offer tailor-made individual group and pension solutions that take the guesswork out of retirement planning. Whether it's for you or your company, don't leave your future to chance and let the trusted hands of CFAL's experts guide you toward peace of mind and financial stability. Low upfront costs and affordable monthly payments make it easy for you to build wealth so you can live well. Visit us at CFAL.com to start on your your path toward financial freedom. CFAL, growing wealth for future generations.
At Cleveland Clinic, care is everything. So when your primary purpose is to care for the world, you'd start with your community. Until you're accessible anywhere. You make complexities your specialties and put compassion before anything else. All to redefine what's possible. For everyone, everywhere. For every care in the world. Cleveland Clinic.
Put more money back in your pocket with the Fidelity Debt Consolidation Loan. Why pay more when you can pay less? Reduce your monthly debt payments down to one low, easy payment. Apply for a Fidelity Debt Consolidation Loan today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Signs everywhere. Signs show our community cares. Signs everywhere. Help us know what's there. Stop sign, that's where I'll stop. Crosswalk, that's where I'll walk.
Good morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You're on the clock with Erin Green. And that song tickled me just now until I remembered that's exactly how we learn, eh, Kermit? That's exactly how we as young people learn. Music, songs, repetition, reinforcing the message over and over and over again.
But you have to also put it into practice. That's the key. As a kid, you are responsible as a pedestrian somewhat.
Yeah.
But the key is when you get older, you keep those things, you know.
All right,
we got
some text, but to get back into the show, Crystal just showed me this article in today's Tribune. Tracking Queen Conch reveals new way to protect breeding grounds. She say, Miss Green, remember you saying that you want a pet conch, but you can't keep it in the ocean because you ain't no conch. You know the conch ain't going to be there. She said you could put a tag on your conch.
Exactly. Track the conch, and then you can meet up with the conch.
Anyway, a new scientific study tracking the movement of Queen Conch suggests that creating protected buffer zones around breeding areas could help safeguard the threatened marine species from overfishing. Hold on, no, they're not tagging them. They're creating a gated community for the conch. I can live with that. I don't know. I don't know. I can find me a waterproof tag, though. I tried to adopt two crawfish for the closed crawfish season.
The tagging of the conch is going to be a little tricky because the shell is so,
I tried to adopt two lobster for crawfish season, the closed season.
I was going to protect them.
Yes,
we talked about that.
Because I have a marine protected environment in my house called a tub.
I was going to keep them safe. No, I don't think it feels the same. See, with this one, the conch stays at the bottom of the sea.
It can stay at the bottom of the tub. I can put sign in it and everything. All right, here's the text. Now, the text says, make the public aware if they have a business license. Okay, so I'm going to rephrase the text. And if you have a business license and you have not yet renewed it, please attend to that. Someone is indicating that there may have been a policy change, and that there's a $200 charge for not renewing it. They can't give you a charge for not renewing it. How are you going to charge me for closing down my business? Mm-hmm. Are you saying that there's a $200 late fee attached, right? If you don't submit your documentation before the deadline, because surely with the backlog at the agency, you're not penalizing people for not having the certificate in their hand at the time, right? It's about people who did not submit the renewal, right? Is that what it is? They did not submit the renewal within the required time. So it's a late fee. It's very interesting. If you have a business license, check if there have been any policy changes, right? Here we go. Here's a text. They do that habitually. If you are moving slowly, you should be in the left lane on a dual carriage road. Further, nobody should be driving 10 miles per hour. You're obstructing traffic. It's illegal. Also, no two cars should be taking it upon themselves to block a road. Your 10 miles per hour could cause an hour or more of gridlock miles behind you. Thank you, texter. I'm going to say, send me a link. I'm going to do a whole show on it. I'm going to do the research. I'm going to find the technical standards, the formulas used to determine the pace of traffic, right? Mm-hmm. Because this is something that we are not taking seriously at all.
And you know what else is in there between the lines? The traffic, the road rage of, oh, this person behind me honked, or I think it was this person, and I'm going to drive slow now because I'm angry, and it causes more problems. Mm-hmm. Like, don't be considerate for the other people on the road. Y'all two ain't the only ones. Mm-hmm. You realize that? Like, there are a lot of people on the road, and they have places to go to. So everybody needs to be careful and considerate. Mm-hmm. Considerate is the word of the day.
You know that old English phrase, not too old, like the kingdom was lost for the want of a nail, right? Like in the horseshoe, horseshoe. Mm-hmm. This country will be lost because of want of a good attitude. It's pure bad. What caused you to go on the road and say, I'm not going to use my turn signal? Mm. I don't want people to know what I'm going to do next. Knowing that you're not following the rules. See, if you're following the rules, then I should be able to presume or assume what you're going to do next because you're following the rules. But y'all not using your turn signals and cutting across two lanes of traffic. Okay, we're going back to the text line. ZNS used to show road use video shorts, but ZNS was the only station most people had at the time, so they had 100% of your attention. You remember
because I used to do the traffic reports in the morning with the police officer giving traffic tips. And so I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, they said that it's not against the law not to use your turning signals every time or on certain occasions, but it's recommended. I don't know if it's on the books, you will be fined.
Listen, there's a fine. There's a fine for not using your turn signal.
Okay.
Yeah, I have it in my notes.
Because somebody asked us that before, mm-hmm. and yeah.
A police officer tried to give me a ticket. I mean, they were just trying to stop and harass us because they thought we were young men from a distance. They gave me a ticket, first of all, for not maintaining the left lane. And I said to him, hey, sir, you notice that I use my hand signals and my turn signals as I prepared to overtake and as I overtook and returned back to my lane. He said, I was overtaking, he said, well, you was overtaking improperly. I said, sir, there are no lines in the road, right? There are broken lines. So, hold on. Broken lines up ahead, right? I use my hand signal. Mm-hmm. I use my car signal. I overtook safely. Mm-hmm. But because initially he said, you didn't use your signal, you didn't do it properly. I say, bro, what else? Right?
You're doing more than most people.
Most people just drive by.
I do not use my hand signals. I use my car signals all the time. But because it's there are too many other people using the road for you not to use it. Okay, you have emergency vehicles, you have pedestrians, you have people, cyclists, and you have other cars on the road. How are you not using your turning signals?
Let's go to the caller. Good morning, caller.
Yes, good morning, Ms. Green. Good morning, Crystal.
Morning.
The traffic czar. Crystal brought up a very interesting point in that I always use the signal because I anticipate an imbecile on a motorcycle coming down the middle lane. And it's a dual carriageway, right, Aaron?
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm on the left lane and I want to get on the western side of the lane, let's say the innermost lane, that's west of where I'm going, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm heading southbound, so I want to get on the right lane.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm on the left lane. I have the signal. The guy coming through at the middle, he's on the motorcycle. If I'm not signaling, he doesn't know what I want to do. He just comes speeding down like an imbecile. And then as I turn, he runs into the car. And then they don't have any license plates, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
So, Crystal, that's a very interesting point. It's also very observant. But you have to be vigilant on the road because everything goes now, Aaron. There's no ordinances. And so back in the days, Aaron, I know I got you by maybe 11 years ago, et cetera. But what I'm saying is, remember they used to have on the inspection sticker the narrative, you must signal.
Mm-hmm.
And then it used to be the hand signal, but then you ball the fist to go, so you're turning on the right. And then the one that you're out to say you're turning on the left. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
On the left.
Mm-hmm.
So you must signal. So with the implementation of the dual carriageway system, according with Crystal is saying that the officer said it's not an offense not to signal. I thought it would be intuitively imbecilic. I line up and listen.
Yeah, I think that officer is probably mistaken.
Or maybe I misunderstood something. That's
See,
possible.
Because what you're saying is
it was a long time ago.
As what people say, right? People say if there's nobody on the road, why I have to use it. You don't know where the police are.
Just like what he said, not just that. You never know when someone's going to fly up out the place. You don't see a lot of people who are on the road. They may be in your blind spot. They may be crossing the street. They may be getting ready to. They need to know too. You may not see them, but they may see you.
Putting on your turn signal as you approach a corner allows the person who's in the corner, and right, they can now say, okay, I have enough time to come out the corner. Mm-hmm. You don't use your turn signal.
Yeah.
Somebody had enough time to come out, but they didn't because they weren't certain whether you were turning or proceeding. They don't know why you slowed down in your car. They don't know if you slowed down in your car to check your phone. Mm-hmm. They don't know if you had gas, if you pump. They don't know. Their job is to wait until it's certain. Mm-hmm. But now they've missed an opportunity to get out the corner and clear that intersection a little, that corner a little bit, because you put on your turn signal and they were able to make an assessment within the time permitted, right? Mm-hmm. That you're turning so they have enough time to come out.
Yeah. And the next thing too that he brought up was that there are some, and I'm not making excuses for anybody, but this is something that also needs to be considered. When I was leaving the Guardian the other morning, there were like 5 kids on bikes and they just came out of nowhere in the middle of the road on Ponciana, and they just rolled past, nothing.
No, you know, stuntman.
And I'm like, why? Some of these bikes, they don't have any reflectors. They don't have any, and even the motorbikes and what, no reflectors, no signals, no license plates, no lights in the night. I don't know what it is, but I don't know if it's a cultural thing or an enforcement thing or maybe a combination of both, but there needs to be some campaign right now, especially with traffic the way it is. And I don't even know if we should still even have faith in a proper public transportation, because we have seen successive governments try and fail. We've seen the pilot program for this.
No,
the
just
pilot
fail.
Program
Hold
for
on.
That.
Just and fail. They, not try.
I,
just fail.
I will say, I'll not give try. Them the benefit of doubt and say these were probably attempts.
Let
right?
me relieve
they were,
you.
They were
Let me relieve you of your doubt. Let me relieve you of your doubt. Just failed. Here's a text. Good day, Erin. What about driving before sunrise and after sunset without headlights, especially jitneys in the early morning? Also, lights should be on during rainfall. Yep. When visibility is reduced, you use your lights so people could see you on the road, especially when you don't use your turn signal. But let's get to the public transportation system.
Oh,
this, is, this is a
we could do the whole show on that.
This is a automotive tax centered regime, right?
Okay.
It inherently, even without the government saying anything, encourages, it forces, in some instances, it coerces people into individual car ownership, right?
Yeah, yeah.
70% of the people behind the wheels of these cars should not be driving. They should never have access to a driver's license. Their behavior on the road warrants it, justifies it, demands it. From you get in your car and you say out loud, and I see you got a, I got a text here, I'll reread the text. That texter has no problem telling you they is break the law to show other drivers who they is.
See, but the road is not the place for that. That's the thing. It's consideration. And then also for the person who said that the jitneys with no lights, and you're carrying other people, like other people's lives are in your hands. Like, why are you playing with that?
So just as we go, producer, if you could play some of that sweet Rake and Scrape music. I got a text from the mayor, Grand Bahama, that said, excellent Rake and Scrape introduction. We can close with it if the producer allows us. He's a busy man. But as we go, you see the jitney drivers, we have to talk about that as well. This weekend leading into this week, there was video documentation of a horrible jitney accident. Listen.
There's a lot of that.
I'm just saying, to the parents, to people who raise in children, do you think your children respect your authority if you drive in cars with them and run red lights and stop signs and have your cell phone in your hand and don't use your turn signal and verbalize outwardly that you're making decisions based on your attitude and not the rules of the road? What you think's going on in the minds of your children, to the elderly Bahamians? Y'all ain't been to PMH recently? On the road, saying things like, I do what I want in my car. I old enough to do what I want. Yeah, but you're not rich enough to die the way that you want. None of us are. Not in this place. Not even them said they don't know what their obligation to Bahamians are. They only know about their obligation to themselves. This is a serious matter. Mr. Hepburn, using the pedestrian crossing, did not survive. Royal Bahamas Police Force, Commissioner of Police, Minister responsible for transport. Do your job. Don't be running around here talking about billboards and jingles. Make the police learn the law. Make them follow it. Make them enforce it. Make officers of the court, officers of the state, make them do what they are supposed to do. That's your job. That's all. That's it. This show has been brought to you by Aaron H.H.T. Green. You guys stay tuned because Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Newry is up next.
I'll talk with the great Pompey and Black Dick too. Whoa, I'll chat with the Milo Butler and the great C.R. Walker. Sir Cecil Wallace Whitfield, I'll say how do you do, yeah. I'll find Dame Doris Johnson and Sir Randall Fox, L.W. Young and C.C. Sweeting too. Oh, Mr. Timothy Gibson and Clarence Bain, Sir Henry Taylor, Sir Kendall Isaacs too. I'll find Sir Roland Simonet, the first Bahamian premier, Sir Gerald Cash, and they are Brennan too.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.